Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome to Food Fight Radio, the very best show for your food tips, cooking tricks, and fun Festivus tidbits. Don't know what to do with your turkey? We've got you covered. In a quandary about what drinks to serve? We'll tell you the best. Whipsawed by confusion about Festivus gift ideas? No problemo. My buddy Sam the Cooking Guy will tell you how to make an eggplant taco. And Neil Saavedra will advise you on choosing the best redneck barbecue joint in L.A. based on the sliminess of their sauce. Not terribly helpful. We'll have you saying, Sam the Wedding What? And Neil Saavedra? Hey, with friends like us, who needs anomalies? It's still Festivus season, and we at Food Fight value your loyalty and take our responsibility of good food advice very seriously, including how to deep fry a turkey without burning your house down. You'd be surprised how many people torch their houses and garages doing that stuff. Plus, that segment will scare and scar you. It'll scare-are you. So first, we're going to talk about a nice, tame, friendly, splish-splashy, creamy fish soup. You can't possibly destroy your home with a nice fish soup.
You can make it stink, though.
True. And later, awesome Jewish-American fusion side dishes that are perfect for your Thanksgivica. But now, waiter... There's a fish head in my soup. Fish soup. How do you feel about that?
I like a lot of fish soups, like clams with a lot of onions, leeks, a lot of broth where the clams and the mussels are opened up. You got some nice, good, hearty bread to eat with it. That's one of my favorites.
And you can get cans of fish stock at the store.
Yeah.
Which is your base. Mm-hmm. You can do that. You don't have to make the fish stock yourself. If you do want to make the fish stock yourself, it's pretty easy.
And it's quick. You don't want to cook that stock long, not like a beef or chicken stock you cook for days.
The toughest part of putting together your stuff for a fish stock is getting big fish bones.
Yes.
Yeah, where are you going to get big fish bones?
You just get big fish heads.
Big fish heads.
Yes.
Right. So forget about the bones. I don't know, fish skeletons. Yeah. You don't have to eat the fish and save its bones. No. You just have to find a store that has fish heads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be an Asian store.
Yes, definitely.
It will.
Definitely.
It's not going to be any Vons or no. Safeway or Albertsons that I know of. No. You walk in there back to the fish section and you only have these lovely, shiny, one-colored, bone-free sections of well-manicured fish fillets. And you walk up to the guy in the back and you say, excuse me, do you have any fish heads?
Like, nope, we get them in cut and we just put them in those little foam thingies.
They don't have them in the back.
No, they don't.
They get the fish perfect in these little squares.
Yes.
They don't come out of the ocean that way.
No. Why do they call themselves butchers? They do very little.
They do very, very little, actually. I don't respect most butchers. You know, I find like two that I really like, and I just go to them year after year, like some women go to their eyebrow guy or like their hairdresser. That's how I am with my butchers. But you got to get fish heads.
Yes.
And then, Google any recipe for fish stock. Just use these giant fish heads. It doesn't even matter what fish they come from.
No.
I mean, unless it's like poisonous fish and its poison sac happens to be in its head.
Well, let's hope that they're selling you food-grade fish heads.
Let's hope.
We'll just run on that assumption.
Hey, there's always a risk. There's always a chance.
It's sometimes really tough to ask them a straightforward
like
question.
Like a weird poisonous lamp. Well, that's because they don't speak English. Yeah. But a wonderful fish soup requires a fish stock.
Yes.
So make a fish stock.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy the cans, fine, wuss out, we don't care. The important thing is that you're going to try something new.
Yeah.
Make a fish stock or don't. But some of the best fish soups, if you want to try something, and you know, don't change the channel, no, it's fish soup. Oh, Claire's talking about fish soup. Fish soup can be delicious and not fishy.
Mm-hmm.
It can. It just requires that you make it creamy. Creamy fish soup. It's the best wuss fish soup.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, if you want it to be sharp, tangy, pungent, fishy, weird, okay. You know what? That's the kind of stuff that you're going to get like in a traditional Thai or Vietnamese restaurant and order the fish soup and it'll just scare the heck out of you,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you can smell that stuff coming a mile away. But if you go with like a Norwegian fish soup, well, all they make is creamy fish soup.
Yeah, yeah. Or an England clam chowder. It's all cream. Yeah.
I don't know anyone that doesn't like New England style creamy clam chowder.
Yeah.
They're all good. Even people who don't like fish will eat that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's full of creamy, potato-y, wonderful, well-rounded, non-fishy goodness.
Exactly.
So you want to try this fish soup. It is wonderful. It is a Norwegian-style creamy fish soup. You're going to take some butter and flour, put it together in a pan, kind of brown the flour, and that's your basic roux. Mm-hmm. You're going to put in your fish stock, a little bit at a time, bring it up to a gentle boil, and kind of whisk it in. Melt a little butter, saute some carrots, some leeks, some potatoes, 10 minutes, you know. Throw some tomatoes in there if you want to get funky. And then you're going to toss in some fish.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fish?
Now, were you thinking white fish or just any type of...
Any kind of fish. You can use salmon. You can use anything white.
When you said that, I was thinking salmon collars, but yeah.
Oh, I love salmon collars.
Yeah.
Really hard to get the meat off the bone, though.
Yeah. That's
really like, you got to really dig around in there. I mean, it's like excavating a dinosaur skeleton to get the meat
bellies,
out of there.
Salmon bellies is what I was thinking. Yeah, the long strip salmon bellies, because it's fatty and meaty, and there's little bones. You just throw that in there.
Even if it's something you wouldn't eat if it was grilled, you will love in this soup.
Oh, yeah, I'll be
breaking because down. The fat will melt, and it will make the soup super rich and wonderful. And then you're going to put the fish in there, you know, raw.
Yeah.
Because the soup will cook it.
Yeah, and it's not like chicken or beef where it'll have that metallic taste afterwards.
Nope.
There's other much iron in it. Well, there is, but in fish, it doesn't come out. So
what about all that mercury?
Well, that's different.
That's completely different.
Let's not talk about that.
If your soup tastes like you've been sucking on a penny, that's the wrong kind of fish. any kind of fish. Throw it in there raw. You don't even have to chop it up because as it cooks,
it boils, yeah.
It will break apart.
Yeah, flaky fish.
It's like the easiest thing in the world, the easiest meat in the world to prepare. Simmer it for 5 minutes, you know, or so, and that's about how long it'll take the fish to cook. Mm-hmm. It'll cook quick. Throw in some parsley, throw in some salt and pepper, and you're going to put some sour cream in there.
Nice.
Like a half a cup of heavy cream and some sour cream. You know, just a little bit. And if you really want to go hoity-toity on it, you can put a little blob of, like, black caviar on top.
Oh, like when you serve it as a garnish?
Yeah, because when you swirl it around, the little black fish eggs float on top.
Mm.
And that tickles me.
Nah, I don't like caviar.
I love it if I can't taste it. Okay. I like to see it.
Yeah,
I like to know that it's on there because
it's definitely fun looking, yeah.
It makes me feel very bougie, you know, which I enjoy. So, I have caviar in my soup.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks cute, and it blends in there. You can't taste it. It's just really, really nice. And that's your fish soup.
There you go.
It's about the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even have to know what you're doing to make, like, a super awesome fish soup. Now, you can also do a cream of fish soup.
Hmm.
The fish and stuff has been blended. It's like a pureed soup, but it's a pureed fish soup.
Ooh.
Okay, so now you don't even have lumps of fish.
You just have this
chunks in there. Yeah. You just have this one. It's super creamy. And it's good for people who don't want to see that it's fish. Right? So it's like a super creamy soup. It looks like a potato soup.
Mm-hmm.
It's very creamy. It's very delicious, but you're not going to be spooning up chunks of fish.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can give this to your kids. And they'll think it's like a cream soup. it's such a great trick. You're going to take some butter and flour again.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make your roux. And then you're going to put in some salt and pepper, throw in some crushed garlic, cover the pan, add your stock, you know, your fish stock that you've made or the fish stock that you've bought, doesn't matter. Take some shrimp, throw those in there, take your fish, throw those in there, and then you're going to blend it. You can throw it in a blender and blend it, or you can use one of the immersion blenders, one of the stick blenders.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have those.
Those are fun.
It doesn't have to be super creamy.
No, just thick.
A little bit to thicken it up, and then you're going to put it back on the saucepan, a little salt and pepper if necessary, and then you're going to put in some cream, probably about a half a cup, heavy cream. Reheat it gently. You don't want to boil it when it's got the cream in there. Cream is a finish.
Yeah.
It's always a finisher. You do not boil anything once you put cream in it.
No, because...
Bad things will happen to the cream.
Especially milk. Milk will burn on the bottom, and that's all your good, yummy flavor that you just burnt.
But yeah, and the cold cream, yeah, it'll cool it down, which is why you reheat it slowly, stirring it. And if you happen to have any leftover prawns, I guess you could, you know, kind of sear them and throw those kind of on the top, maybe a little cilantro, a little parsley. And because it has cream in it, should you also want to put in a few drops of lemon juice? You can,
because heavy cream won't break.
Heavy cream will not break. It's like you put like in making a martini when you have a creamy martini. Well, a lot of the things that you put in there are full of citric acid.
Yeah,
in there, and you got your simple syrups and your Rose's lime juice is always very acidic, but yet you put cream in there. And it makes a smooth martini, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah.
That's why bartenders only use heavy cream. When you're cooking, you should really, a lot of the time, use heavy cream.
Oh, yeah, whenever you can. It's more forgiving. It's richer. It has more flavor.
It's foolproof.
Yeah, you can actually boil heavy cream down to a thick paste, and it's fine. You can boil it down for a while. And
it's okay. The dummy's creamer, because you can't really do anything bad to it.
Yeah.
So put that in there, and then you've got your wonderful cream of fish soup. See? Now you're going to go try something new.
Yay!
Fish soup. Did fish you ever soup. Think you'd make fish soup? Maybe. Well, Marcus and I do all the time.
Yeah, yeah, but
I'm talking to you people out there.
Waiting for an answer.
Wait, I don't hear anything.
That's kind of rude, actually.
That's when just, you're talking you know, when someone asks you a question.
It's just kind of rude.
You should answer. When we come back, we're going to talk turkey. The good, the bad, and the deep fried. Plus, we'll give you all the helpful tips on technique, flavor, and flammability. In short, we'll teach you how to not make your house go up like a Roman candle. So keep it tuned to Food Fight.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is Marcus, the international super spy turned chef.
You told everyone I was a spy?
Now on Food Fight.
Oh, man. Now there's going to be a hit out on me. All right.
Well, you know, that was going to be short-lived anyway.
Yeah.
Next on Food Fight, gourmet mac and cheese. How to make the best hoity-toity version of the traditional favorite. You know what? No.
No?
We're not going to do that. We're not going to talk about the 50th way to put breadcrumbs and extra calories and maybe a different kind of cheese in there to try to pass it off as something splendiferous and fancy.
But I put fancy meat in there also.
I'm so sick and tired of that. We're not going to do that. And you know what? If you are willing to spend $10 on some restaurant version of a gourmet mac and cheese, you should slap yourself. Then maybe sit down with yourself and rework your whole list of priorities, because something inside you is all cockeyed and you need to work on it.
What if it had foie on top, like after it's...
Okay, you got me. You
just,
got me.
Just after you get all the
You know my weakness. You know my Achilles heel. I cannot resist foie gras. No, right now we're going to be discussing instead something a little more important, thank you. Like life or death important. Like not burning your house down while deep frying your Thanksgiving turkey. That's got to be a bit more meaningful than Neil Saavedra's favorite ways to remove his lunch from in between his teeth, I think. So you want a great turkey, but you don't want to burn your place down to get it, so follow these simple rules and you'll keep your eyebrows and arm hair. Step number one, get your turkey.
Got it. How big are you talking?
You know, it kind of depends on the size of the pot. You can't get a turkey that's bigger than the pot because it will not fit in the pot. So first get a pot, I think. Maybe not first get a turkey. First get a pot and then get a turkey that will fit inside the pot.
And around this time of year, I think all the Walmarts, Targets, and whatnot are selling turkey fryers.
Oh, they all have them.
Yeah,
you can get these things anywhere. You can get it at Sears, Target, Kmart, any barbecue place.
And
any store that sells propane and propane accessories. So you get your turkey, but the most important thing you're going to do with this thing is you're going to season the turkey.
Yes.
Seasoning the turkey before deep frying is extremely important. You're going to take some cayenne pepper all over the top, around the legs, inside, outside, rub it in, turn it around, put some more cayenne on it, rub it in. A lot of that cayenne will come off.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to do it? I was thinking on the inside of the skin as opposed to the outside, because you're going to dip it in the oil. All that would burn off.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You want to go under the skin, too.
Under the skin.
The skin is easy to separate from the bird. You just kind of lift it up. It's like a little covering. And then you just rub that in there. And then you also want to do salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Now, you can inject the turkey, but you're deep frying it. And honestly, the cayenne pepper and the salt and the pepper is going to do like a lot of that work.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how spicy you like it. Put just a little bit more cayenne on it than you feel comfortable with.
Yes.
That will come off. A lot of it will come off. Now, so you can Google recipes. This one is the favorite. You can brine the thing.
I love brining my turkeys. Definitely.
Takes days sometimes. And just a little bit of brining can go a long way. Personally, I like to start with a really nice, expensive turkey.
Mm-hmm. And like then, a heritage or a...
You know, something that's going to be free range, organically fed.
Yeah.
And is a nice, good, healthy, meaty size that has been not injected with water to make it bigger.
Yeah. Injected with sodium or whatever you said all over the place.
Well, you know what? That water comes out when you cook it.
Yeah.
You wind up with like a shrunken bird.
Mm-hmm.
That's not cool, man. You're paying per pound for that stuff.
Exactly.
So if you think you got a good deal, you did not. Get the most expensive, awesome, organic, free-range jock run around the barnyard turkey you can get, and then don't brine it.
No.
You don't need to.
Expensive as in per pound, not turkey price.
Brining takes time. It's a great way to fix up a really lousy turkey.
I like brining my good turkeys, and if you add more salt to the brining liquid, if you double the salt or half the water, it'll take half the time.
Extra salt. I love that. Salt is like my second favorite ingredient.
But yeah, brining extracts a lot of water from the turkey itself, making the flavor itself a little more powerful.
Again, something you only need to do with a lousy turkey.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like a really awesome turkey, it's not going to have a lot of water in there.
No.
So then you don't have to brine it. Brining it takes time, and you may be as lazy as me.
Mm.
So do that. And then what you want to do is rub it under the skin all over, just like we mentioned. Now, you're going to make a metal handle, which is a big pain in the bahookie. Out of a weird wire, and you got to thread it through the turkey and hold it up and test it, make sure it works, or get a fryer with a basket.
I was going to say, why the heck would you do that?
Why would you do that? But you may have a fryer that does not have a basket. My recommendation for you is to don't even bother. Go get a new fryer. Get it with a basket. Okay?
Yeah, that's
step two. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have a way of lifting the turkey out of the oil. That's important. Prepare your burner. Do it outside.
Yeah, that's why
don't
I want you to have
an
electric... Yeah,
I don't care if it's raining. Don't do this in the garage. You are a fool, a bloody fool. If you do this in the garage, don't do it on
all that exposed wood and all super hot oil.
And don't do it on your deck. That thing's made out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that oil is going to catch fire, roll over, and then ignite your entire deck. And then you're going to be spending Thanksgiving next to all the firefighters that are enjoying toasting marshmallows where your house used to be.
Yes.
So don't do that. Outside, in a well-ventilated area.
You know, I would love to see that. actual firefighters toasting marshmallows on a burning downhouse.
That would be, because they're going to laugh at you. They're going to say, you're dumb.
I would love to, like, in a black and white photo, I would put that up in my house.
Oh, that would make great art.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, that would be even cooler than the one where they have the intimate look of the Tour de France where all the people in the front are smoking cigarettes and they're kind of pacing. Yeah, pacing each other. So do that outside, away from anything flammable, including your family. And you want your burner to be on a level surface because it might fall over. And yes, if it does, it's your fault because you put it on an unstable, unlevel surface. And you want to make sure that you set up your propane tank. Read the instructions very, very thoroughly and carefully, because improperly set up, a deep fryer can explode.
Yes.
As in explode.
Yeah. think about it this way. The propane is just a tank of explosives with a gas hose that you hook up to fire on purpose.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing on purpose. So if you do that wrong, that fire is going to go down through the hose and ignite your propane tank. Just...
So be scared.
Just, yeah, yeah, just
be afraid. Respect. Be very afraid. Respect the
explosives
that you have in your backyard.
Intentionally
igniting. Next to your family,
yes,
who's all staring around, standing around staring at it without protective gear going, ooh.
While you're drinking, cooking this turkey.
Yeah. Next, prepare your oil level. You're going to use the displacement method. Fill it halfway with water. Put the turkey in it, the whole turkey, mm-hmm, you know, and then you're going to add as much water as you need to just cover the bird.
Yeah.
Remove the turkey, mark that level with a pen, and then take the water out and thoroughly dry the pot.
Yes.
Thoroughly. That is your oil level. If you put more oil in it than that, when you put the turkey into it, all of that boiling hot oil,
yeah,
will go over the edge of the pot, down to where the fire is, and again, explode. Now, we don't want to scare the dickens out of all you people so much so that you don't try frying a turkey, yeah, but I deep fried a turkey several times, mm-hmm, without really having any idea what I was doing. And I just sort of tried to use my brain,
yeah,
to avoid death. And it worked out fine.
Yeah, yeah. When trying something new with flammable explosives, I encourage one not to be inebriated. Maybe you shouldn't.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Maybe that's step number one. Make sure you're not drunk
before you hook up your fryer and ignite the oil.
Now you want to thoroughly dry the pot. You want to thoroughly dry your turkey.
Yes.
If there is any water and oil, bad.
Yeah.
Water and hot oil, very bad combination.
You turn the water into an explosive.
It sputters and, yeah, goes everywhere, and it can ignite.
The water automatically turns to steam, which expands, shooting the oil out.
So you put the oil in there. You put it up to where your line is. Don't put it in over that, you know. Don't think that the bird's going to shrink and you need more oil to... No, no. Just to that level. You can always add a little bit more oil later, okay? So you want to put your gas burner on the high setting, have a temperature gauge in, yeah, there, a little thermometer that stays in there the whole time, kind of clipped to the side. It should really come with the pot.
Yeah, make sure you get one that's adequate. If you get a oven one, it's going to melt.
Yeah.
You want to get one for the oil
specifically
or candy.
To be used for like high temperature stuff like candy thermometer, like Marcus said, or like the thing that comes with the pot.
It better come with the pot, yes.
And it should stay in there the whole time. Why? Because you're not going to take a normal thermometer and then stick your hand in there over the oil,
yeah,
to try to check that. No.
Yeah, because right over the oil, even though you're not touching the oil,
I don't care how instant that
hot
instant read is, you will flame your hands doing that. So leave it in there. It needs to stay in there the whole time. You need the oil to be 350. Magic number is 350. Once the oil is 350, you are going to very carefully lower the turkey into the oil.
Yeah.
If you have a giant pot with a giant turkey and this turkey is too heavy for you, use a broom handle and two people.
Mm-hmm.
Stick it through that handle and then you're going to, like, it'll help you keep your distance. Your two people. Plus, you get to imagine that you're a cannibal carrying your victim over the fire. And that's a lot of fun.
That is a lot of fun.
So fry your turkey. 3 to 4 minutes per pound.
Yeah.
That's it. It's very, very simple. Cooking time can change a bit. So when you think the bird's about halfway done, you know, mm-hmm, lift it out of there. If it looks like it's browning and darkening and getting weird too quickly, then maybe turn the temperature down just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want to do is at that point when you're getting close to it being done, you want to start measuring the internal temperature of the bird.
Yeah.
So you're going to lift that thing out. And this is a two-person job.
Yes.
Someone or two has to lift out the bird. Another guy has to go in there and, you know, check the internal temperature of the bird. What you want is like 165, but preferably like 170 is good to shoot for in the breast and like 180 in like the thigh. Turn off your fire.
Mm-hmm.
Let the oil cool completely. Not before you eat the turkey, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let it cool while you guys
turn it off. You know, go take your bird inside.
Let it rest.
Yeah, let it rest for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, and, you know, loosely cover it with foil.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of keep the niceness in there. That's like the crispiest, tastiest, most wonderful, delectable bird skin you will ever have in your entire life. And that's the end all be all of Thanksgiving dinner is this wonderful turkey. Now, before we go to break, Marcus has introduced a beverage here.
Oh, yeah.
As he typically does, he puts something in front of me that I've never seen that looks scary and then dares me to drink it on the air.
Yeah, it's a kombucha.
Kombucha.
Which is not a melon or a squash, but it's a mushroom fungus.
Mushroom fungus fermented tea and ginger brew.
Yeah, so this is a ginger tea. And they use the mushroom fungus to ferment it.
Now, it's fermented, but not in the good way.
No, it's fermented vinegar, not fermented alcohol.
So it's supposed to be like an elixir tonic. It's raw, it's vegan, it's gluten-free, it has Japanese letters and some kind of mushroom on the side. Now, what is this supposed to do to me again?
It's supposed to help clean your blood, but it's also a barometer for your blood sugar level.
It's a testing strip.
It's a testing strip.
Depending on how it tastes.
But also, it will kill fungus and bacteria in your bloodstream.
Looks like a beer. It's totally not a beer.
No, but it's bubbly like a beer.
Which is
also
a real shame. It's carbonated.
It is carbonated.
But when I drink this, if it tastes good, then my blood is normal and doesn't have a lot of sugar. It doesn't have high glucose in my blood, right?
Right. If it tastes sweet, then you might need a little sugar.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think that's going to be the case. But if it tastes like vinegary, then there's something wrong with me.
Then you might have too much sugar.
Then I might have too much sugar in my system, and then I should watch the sugar intake and try to back it off for a little while. I have a pretty good idea that most of the sugar in my blood is not from junk food. It's probably from booze. So we're going to taste this stuff and let you know how it goes. I'm going to pour some into a cup for Marcus so he can suffer right along with me.
Hey, can you see the bottom? Like when you hold up, look at the bottom. You see that stuff
there? Oh, there's stuff floating in it.
You could actually use that to make your next batch if you wanted to. Because that's
I'm
the mother mushroom.
I'm going to make this stuff. Why would it's cheap enough to buy in the bottle.
Well, I know, but it's fun to make your own.
Well, okay. Well, you know, salute, buddy. Clink.
Clink. My styrofoam cup. Oh, well, that's delightful.
Oh, that's horrible.
Wow, and I'm drinking, right before it, I'm drinking Monster.
Oh, it tastes so vinegary. I'm in so much trouble.
Oh.
Oh, no. I was afraid. It's like salad dressing.
Wow.
I'm drinking salad dressing.
This is nice. Like,
this is horrifying.
This is like pure organic.
You are so much healthier than me. Oh, my God. I got to taste this again. This is gross. Well,
I might go buy another one before we leave. This is great.
Disgusting. Oh.
Oh.
What the?
I love it.
Oh, my goodness. I'm unhealthy.
Oh.
I am an unhealthy show host. When we come back, we'll be covering the end-all be-all of simple and quick and delicious side dishes for your Thanksgivica. And we're going to talk about how Claire can clean all the extra sugar out of her blood because I think I'm in trouble. Food Fight Radio will be right back.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized and
don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine-In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine-In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma. Are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dinin' Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online, and they'd bring fresh, hot gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you, and the food was always different, and suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine in tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is Village People band member in training, Chef Marcus. I see that weird beard mustache thing is coming in nicely. So are you forming a cover band or something, or is there something you want to tell me?
Well, it's Movember.
Uh-huh.
So for prostate cancer awareness, people are asked to shave their face before November and grow a mustache. So I don't know.
I mean, something. I know that. I was just trying to give you a segue because I know you like talking about this stuff.
Yeah, just you know, I know my grandpa had his prostate removed and my uncle had problems also. So just kind of bring awareness. Guys, go get checked out. It takes 2 seconds. I know it's uncomfortable. No one wants a doctor, just, you know, and you're whatever.
Wait, what's the matter with you? This is a food show.
I'm just saying, go get checked out. You'll live longer and all your parts will work better.
I think what you should do instead of growing a mustache for this thing is you should pass out mustache-shaped ribbons. I know that one's not taken yet.
Huh.
Mustache-shaped ribbon.
Yeah, because of the arc and the
mustaches are very hip right now. I have a Mustache Me app on my phone where it adds a mustache to any photo on your phone.
I don't even know what that's about.
I've been putting mustaches on my daughters for weeks. It's hilarious. But you don't have to have a real one. See, you can just pass out little mustache ribbons.
Because I do look like a bad cop in every movie.
Or it would be like, you know, it could be like a ribbon that has hair on it. Like a little faux hair ribbon. Mm-hmm. It's the mustache ribbon. You could pass those out instead of growing that this thing. I mean, I'm just honestly, you look like the cop village person guy.
Nice.
You know, and so really all you need is a costume. I'm gonna have you play at my next party. So we're talking about Thanksgiving side dishes here.
Yes.
And quickly, a word on simple salad dressings you can make in a flash. Because these can be tossed with not just salads, but also over steamed veggies, dribbled over roasted veggies and meats, used later as sauces for things. So they're really, really versatile, and everyone loves them. So they make you seem like a better cook.
Yeah, a simple one for every vinaigrette you've ever had is one part vinegar, three parts oil, and then a binder like an onion, clove, mustard, powdered mustard. Blend all those together. You have a vinaigrette, whatever vinegar flavor you want, whatever oil flavor you want, whatever additive, boom, easy salad dressing.
And the nice thing about dressings is there's no cooking.
Yeah, just a little
you
magic
put
bullet.
Put stuff in a
done.
Little thing. You can use a whisk. You can use a blender. You can use a magic bullet if you don't have a magic bullet. You know, we don't make a commission when someone buys a magic bullet or anything.
No.
I'm just telling you, it's like the most awesome chef's tool ever. And we should.
We should get commission.
Because we do like them.
Yeah.
We do mention them from time to time. Uh-huh. Get those guys on the phone. I want a nickel every time. We mention Magic Bullet. And then it'll be 1 hour of us just saying,
Magic bullet,
Red Bull, Red Bull. Get one of those, make some salad dressing, put it on stuff. Easy. Yeah. And it's easy because it makes everything taste better. It's got salt, pepper, spices, oil.
Whatever you
all
want,
those things make everything taste great.
Yeah, over steamed veg, I love it. It's a great healthy thing as opposed to butter or anything else. Green beans especially. You got some cooked green beans.
It's like step number one. If you're going to make a bunch of side dishes for stuff, make one or two workhorse salad dressings. I don't care what you put in it. You could put some mustard in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could put some cilantro. You could throw a bunch of fresh basil in there.
Exactly.
I mean, it really does not matter what you put in it. Just about everything tastes good in a home blended salad dressing. Now you're going to take that dressing and make it go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You can steam some green beans and top them with your dressing and some nuts.
There we go.
Slivered almonds, maybe. That's good. And a word on veggies. They can all be quickly steamed in a microwave by putting them in a container with a little bit of water in the bottom, covering them with plastic wrap. Now, people always overcook veggies.
Always.
And not by a little bit, but by like a lot. By many minutes.
They're brown and, yeah.
Mushy.
Carrots are mushy.
They turn to mush. Cooking them incorrectly your whole life and always serving mush to your family, why haven't you learned?
Yeah, why do you still have your teeth? If all your veggies are mush anyways, you don't need your teeth at all.
Yeah.
It's just... I'm not a baby. I'm not an old. I have my teeth.
The weirdest possible long-term outcome of what we're talking about, dude.
Whenever I eat mushy vegetables, I think of bad baby food. Like you open a little baby food jar.
Which is great if you're making your own organic baby food.
Yeah, if you're bad, that's what I'm
But if you're serving your relatives for Thanksgivica, you want them to be able to gnash their teeth on something a little bit more substantial. Steam your veggies. It takes a couple of minutes, like 3 or 4 minutes mm-hmm. tops for a big bowl of big pieces of veggies.
Yeah.
Green beans, 3 minutes, 3.5, maybe.
You're talking about in the microwave?
Yeah, in the microwave. Yeah, it's the best and quickest and easiest way to steam veggies.
Yeah,
I mean, nothing bad's going to happen to these veggies if you nuke them.
Yeah, and you want to throw a little water in with your veggies to steam.
A little water. That's
and
it.
If you're being fancy, add a little bit of your salad dressing in there already, or a little bit of the vinegar, or a little bit of stock.
And it'll steam them in your dressing.
Yes.
And the flavor will be more inside the veggies.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be wonderful. Potato type things, you got to have something like that.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving, something potatoy, like a yam or a sweet potato or a mashed regular potato, a Yukon Gold. I love those. They're the creamiest. Roast them.
Yes.
Just make sure to first toss the pieces with olive oil, salt, and pepper.
We always have a root veg salad. So we have like sweet potatoes, yams, two different kinds of beets, roasted. And that's usually what we have, one of our big main dishes for Thanksgiving.
It takes 30 to 45 minutes at 350.
Yeah.
Like tops. You know what? Cook everything at 350. Just remember that one number. If you don't know how to cook, remember this number, 350.
Yeah.
Anytime you see a recipe for something, it's always set your oven at 350.
Yeah.
It's like they should just have ovens only come with an on-off switch, and the oven should just automatically go to 350, because that is the most useful temperature for cooking darn near everything. Stuffing, what's your favorite?
I love savory stuffing. Little bits of sausage in there, sage, nice, rich, Irish butter. That's one of my favorite stuffings.
You do not have to make the croutons yourself.
Oh, buy them, please.
Yeah.
Stovetop, whatever.
You can get any bread stuffing mix or cube stuffing mix or cornbread stuffing mix.
Or a bag of croutons.
It doesn't matter. Really, you're just going to use that and you're going to add a little bit of stock,
mm-hmm.
And you're going to throw in a bunch of other stuff that you like. Some wonderful combos to make a really interesting savory stuffing very, very quickly. You get your mix. You put in chestnuts.
Yes.
Roasted chestnuts. Dried fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Almonds. Macadamias and coconut. Excellent combination. You throw in some pieces of macadamia nuts and coconut. Makes a wonderful stuffing. Chunks of apple and cilantro make a wonderful stuffing. Like we were talking about sausage.
Yeah.
That, of course, requires that you cook the sausage before you toss it in there. Mm-hmm. And then don't put it in your bird.
No.
First of all, your bird's getting deep fried anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to throw a bunch of stuffing into the deep fryer that's messy and weird and you won't be able to eat it. Use the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you stuff a bird with, if the bird gets to a different temperature than the inside, that's tainted stuffing. Why would you do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Why ruin your stuffing?
Yeah. It looks pretty, but really it's just...
It looks fantastic.
And all that blood you don't want to eat that comes out of the bones inside the cavity gets in your stuffing.
Yeah.
And gives it more of a metallic flavor.
Weird. So cook your stuffing in the oven, and then when you're presenting the bird, Put the two together.
There you go.
You take your bird, you take your stuffing, you ram the stuffing up to the back end of the bird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sounds dirty, but it looks nice on the platter. You know who makes delicious dinners, hot and fresh, every day, and uses lots of stuffings and nutted veggies and delicious roasted potatoes and yams in their food every day?
Ooh, who's that?
Dine In Tonight. They cook fresh, hot dinners every day. No pre-made stuff, no preservatives, no MSG. Lots of tender, juicy, marinated meats cooked just right with tasty sauces and healthy sides and fresh local veggies. They make a Bloody Mary marinated steak that's absolutely divine, and a bacon-wrapped brajol with creamy Gouda grits that'll practically put you in a comfort food coma. The dinners are cooked fresh every day, delivered right to your door at dinner time. You pay $10 a dinner with no delivery fees. Call today. Get back your time, your money, and your life. Don't be a slave to dinner time. Call Dine In Tonight today. You can get 3, 4, 5 nights a week. Dinner packages anytime you want dinner. They're completely flexible. Very, very awesome. Call 888-64-MEALS. Or go to www.dinein2nite.com. It's the biggest thing since taking a crummy little pile of elbow macaroni and cheese, tossing in some canned lump crab tidbits and white truffle oil, and slapping on a $20 price tag. That's dineintonight.com. Coming up next, we'll be reviewing an all-chocolate restaurant. The food is chocolate. The walls are chocolate. The plates are chocolate. And the owner is bald. Well, the owner's not going to be chocolate now, is he? That's impossible. Food Fight Radio will be right back.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz, and on to the review. You have to be in a particularly special state of mind to go into an all-dessert restaurant. And I don't mean it's after dinner and you just want dessert. I mean the kind of restaurant where the owner has such a shameless devotion for sweets that it affects even the actual food on the menu. I'm talking about the all-chocolate restaurant in Las Vegas called Max Brenner's. He's a nice Jewish boy with a huge sweet tooth. I think maybe his parents wouldn't let him have any candy at all when he was little, and he's making up for it with this place. If you served an all-chocolate pizza at a dinner party, your friends would flip out. But when this guy does it, it seems perfectly normal. He's opened locations in New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and a few other places. Of course, the Las Vegas location is the best place to experience the insanity because everything in Vegas is totally over the top. And if you want to eat at a chocolate restaurant, this is the place that'll have you sweating chocolate by the end of the meal. The decor is nice and warm and inviting, but it's the giant pipes that look like they're circulating vatfuls of liquid cocoa all up the walls and across the ceiling that really pull you into the fantasy. I actually had a dream about that once, but here it's real. It's very immersing. You just want to dive into a giant cauldron of swirling melted stuff. They have one right in front. And the bartender serves only those drinks that can be made sweet and syrupy. Already I'm right at home, and I haven't even tasted the food yet. Of course, being a restaurant, you'd expect standard dinner items, but that's where Max gets a bit weird. Everything has been touched by this guy's sweet tooth. The pasta has a light dusting of cocoa, the ranch dressing has been swirled with chocolate syrup, and the hamburger is served on a sweet roll. The chocolate pizza, though, is the real black hole of chocolate commitment here. There's no escaping it. It's a big, heavy, and layered with everything you ever wanted out of life. Cake, brownies, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate, peanut butter, caramel, toffee bits. It's crazy. This is a place where you can order dinner for dessert. There's a full truffle collection and some winsome products for the impulsive chocoholic shopper. The chocolate bubble bath was my retail undoing. Of course, I also bought the jar of freshly made milk chocolate ganache and the big plastic syringe to serve it in, which is probably the next best thing to a chocolate blood transfusion. I don't think I've ever had that much chocolate in one sitting before. By the end of my meal, my jaw actually froze up like it does when you're 9 and you've just eaten all your Halloween candy in one day. I felt the diabetes coming on. All I could do was hope to sleep it off and wake up normal, for this was not a naturally tenable feeling. I left with blurred vision, who knows how much the check was. Walking slowly back to my hotel and feeling the worst sugar shock in years, I did the only thing I could. I reached into my shopping bag and nibbled a truffle on the way. You can see photos of our chunky chocolate childishness at foodfightradio.com.
And now for your moment of clarification.
Folks, I have figured out the leading cause of weight gain. The main reason for the whole thing. It's daylight savings time. Let's talk about it. First and foremost, the process causes stress. Our human circadian clock was not designed for sudden time changes. This causes stress, anger, and an inability to concentrate. Our internal clock was also not designed to wake up when it's dark outside. Fine when you're a caveman, but not fine when you have to be on a packed freeway by 7. This leads to the aforementioned stress, anger, and lack of focus, which is now causing accidents and pileups on the road. We have by now learned that stress causes weight gain and obesity. Additionally, it takes the average person about 3 weeks to get over the jet lag caused by this whole debacle. So we're talking 3 weeks of stress, anger, confusion, lack of sleep, extra meals, and tendency to crash your car or stalk someone out of road rage, all while you're snacking and packing on the extra pounds. You can add some anger owing to the fact that the government did this to us. Just another way that Big Brother screws with our day, likely for the reason of lowering our mental defenses just enough so we'll believe whatever BS line they'd like us to believe this year. For example, that we need health insurance to pay for a 5-cent pill. Or it might be that chubby people are more likely to fall for something like that. Knowing the government is screwing with us just makes us more mad. And most of us are stress eaters, hence more weight gain. Their big line on this whole thing is that it saves energy. Whose? Not mine. I'm running the AC or the heat, either way. The only thing this is saving you from is your skinny jeans. So we eat breakfast an hour earlier, but we go to bed at the same time. That's more snacks and meals, isn't it? Where we go to work what seems like an hour earlier, but we're not getting paid any more for it. And now we're all on the freeway together. pissed, and overfed in the dark. Folks, this is a recipe for disaster. It may also anger you to know that an entomologist and his buddy, an avid golfer, were the ones who came up with the idea. Let's all fiddle with the clocks, shall we? All because some bug enthusiast wanted a little more time to collect his nocturnal insect quarry, and some dicky-wearing dork could practice his putts. Well, thanks a lot, you bug-loving plaid pansy. Thanks a lot. The good news is we've identified the problem. Now let's go beat up all the golfers. Tune in next week for Rediscovering Baloney. It's just as bad as we remember. Also, corn dogs and other reasons Europe makes fun of us. And I'll tell you what you can do with that coconut. All next week on your favorite food show. This is Claire Katz reminding you that no one feels lonely while eating spaghetti.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.